Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
What's up, New Era Sens listeners? This is your boy Brennan, joined by Dave, and welcome to episode 21. It's a really special episode because we're following up the Jacob Bernard Docker interview with a Shane Pinto interview, which was an absolute treat to be able to have him on the show. Personally, like one of my favorite prospects that's in the Senators organization, someone that just looks like they continue to add more and more to their game every year. So we'll have that clip later on for you to listen to and to enjoy. What did you think of the interview, Dave?
Honestly, that was one of the coolest interviews we've done. It's Shane Pinto. I mean, you don't see many amateur websites getting the opportunity to interview him, so we got very lucky that way. But the man is a treat. He was just an all-around good person. Even before and after recording, he was easy to chat with.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely very down to earth, which I really respected. Like, just kind of was willing to kick it with us, laughing at our stupid jokes and playing up with us. It's really awesome to see that. Just a great guy. Like, he has a personality to him, which I really like. It kind of looked like he was rocking some pretty sweet glasses. So it looks like he is into the whole style aspect. And I like when players have some swagger and bring it in. I think that's something that you don't see as much in hockey, but it's kind of happening more and more now. And I feel like he's got a bit of a swagger to him in terms of his personality and everything. So really, really excited. He ended up, like, after our interview, just played unbelievable, had a beautiful assist and then a beautiful goal as well on the weekend when they ended up winning that Penrose Cup again. So we're rooting for him, and maybe just another reminder to our listeners that you can vote for him to win the Hobie Baker as well. So definitely make sure you get your votes in. But moving on, I guess we'll get on to our first topic, which kind of broke the hockey world today or this week. So Artemi Panarin has announced, or the league has announced, the Rangers have announced that Artemi Panarin is taking a leave of absence to deal with the news story that broke in Russia with allegations of him against an 18-year-old girl, some assault allegations. It's looking like the allegations don't carry a lot of merit. Obviously, we don't want to say anything to offend any victim or anything like that. It does definitely seem like it's something that there's more to the story, though, just based on what the history of Panarin and the Russian government. He was very vocal about how he was pro the person running against Putin or anti-Putin. And it sounds like this could unfortunately be something to do with politics, but hopefully whatever it is, it gets resolved soon, because he's an absolute treat to watch and a superstar in today's game. And really hope that the best case scenario, this stuff can get dropped and we can move forward. And hey, if it is something that needs to get dealt with, then it gets dealt with appropriately as well. What are your thoughts on it, Dave?
Well, honestly, at the end of the day, if it turns out where it's all false and is literally just propaganda against him, then I'm sure the United States would gladly make him a permanent resident and call him one of their own. At the end of the day, you hear you're professional athletes. It happens at least once a year. You hear some professional athlete who laid hands on a woman, and you kind of it kind of hurts you, man, because these are the athletes that a lot of the kids look up to, or even like myself, Panarin. Like, I love Panarin, right? And if these allegations came out true, I would think a lot less of him as a human being, right? Like, it sucks. But like you said, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of merit behind the story. I've read a few different reports where the hotel is saying, no, this never actually happened. And other people are saying, no, this never actually happened. At the end of the day, if it really did, I really hope that this person, like this girl, is okay. But if it didn't happen, then yeah, man, I'd like to know where it all started with, right? And like you said the other day, he's very anti-Putin, and he's been very clear about that. What baffles me is, what would this get Putin, though? Like, what would the government gain from putting a story like this out here? Like, I don't think they're going to ruin his career. They would know the NHL is going to look into this. And if there's no evidence, then they should know that the NHL is going to be like, okay, well, it's obviously BS. And why now? You know, there's just so many questions for me.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that as well. And I do really want to express the fact that I'm not trying to be inconsiderate of this potential victim or victims in general. Like, I mean, like with what happened with Kareem Hunt a few years ago, like it still makes me sick to think that he was able to move on and continue to play that the way that he has. And other cases like that, like I'm definitely an advocate against these things. Like I don't support them at all. But yeah, like unfortunately when it comes to the Russian government, they do not have the best track record in terms of when people are slandering them or going against them. There's a lot to be said about the way that they treat people who speak ill of the hand that feeds them.
And that's the thing is I don't know much about, like, I'm going to be totally honest. I'm ignorant to Russian government. And if they've, you know, if this is not the first time where they've thrown someone under the bus just because they got childish because somebody called them out for their BS. So I'm not familiar with what they've done in the past. I'm very ignorant to Russian government. So,
yeah, I mean, hey, fair enough. Like, I think that even just the whole like Alexander McGillney thing, like the fact that for him to come over and play in the NHL, he basically like had to sneak out of the country and was not welcomed back to Russia again, like for leaving the KHL and coming to play in the NHL because it was seen as an act of treason. So I think like obviously Russia's come a long way since then. So yeah, we don't need to dive into it. We don't even need to dive into all of this too much. But I just think that it's definitely something that is important to consider and remember the fact that like McGillney was like basically banned. Like if he would have gone back to Russia, likely would have had death threats and things like that against him or would have been thrown into jail just for coming to the United States to play hockey in the best league in the world. So it is one of those things that it's like, okay, you can't help but wonder if Panarin is running his mouth against, or not running his mouth, like using his platform, speaking properly, speaking like standing up for what he believes in against a president that is of a communist country, what repercussions that might cause.
Right. And who knows, but at the end of the day, man, someone's got to stand up to Putin. I remember Sochi, like the Olympics, like they were saying that you cannot wear rainbow colored anything because it represented gay pride. And he was against that, right? He's obviously being gay is against the law down there or some shit. I can't remember exactly what the rule is, but if I'm not wrong, I think there was like a bunch of like either American players or Canadian players that got off the plane wearing like rainbow t-shirts or something just to make a point.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, hell yeah, man. Like go like do that, guys. But yeah. I mean, yeah. Like you said, he's a dictator. He's a little messed up in the head. Can't put anything past him, but at the end of the day, if there actually is a victim out there, then we kind of hope this gets resolved and she's okay.
Exactly. For sure. So yeah. So moving on, but let's get back to some sense content because
I think start some hockey, man.
Yeah. Kind of hockey, but yeah, let's get into it. We had ourselves a fun little Sunday night when the Brady Tkachuk show came to town and scored in overtime to take out the Montreal Canadiens. So the Sens ended up pulling one up in overtime. It was scary. Montreal tied it up late in the game. It was a good game, but for me, like just for me, for this game was big in my opinion. Like watching this game, like it's really looking like these kids are starting to shine. It's really looking like these kids are getting trusted in big minutes, which is great, as they should be. And they're just continuing to impress me over and over again. Like Tim Stützle's looking like he could be a star in the NHL this year. Like he's looking like he is on that path. Like he's so electric with the puck. He's so quick. The way that he's able to like break in and make plays happen and like just find these lanes, and like he's really adapting the game so well. And I mean, like Brady is just he's so strong and so relentless, and it's so fun. It's so great to see. It's nice to see them play this game and be competitive to win against Montreal, who's one of the top teams in the division. What did you think of the game, Dave?
Well, I thought it was really cool because you're starting to develop a pattern. So the three goal scorers for the game were Batherson, Tkachuk, and Norris. Right, and those are quickly becoming three of your best players. Now, obviously, with like the game before, you had Daddy who scored two, and then obviously, like you said, Stützle's obviously coming into his game. But you can see a pattern of who is becoming the main guys. When you ask who the top five players are, without looking at a stat sheet to anybody, they'll tell you probably Batherson, Tkachuk, Norris, Daddy, Stützle. Right, And I, like you said, man, the young guys are really starting to come into it. I look forward to getting the Tim Stützle upper deck young guns card, because at the end of the day, he is going to be the most sought out young guns card over Lafreniere, unfortunately. And it's nothing against Alexis Lafreniere. He's going to be great. Maybe he's just doing a Jack Hughes where he's having a bad season. But right now, this year, Stützle is the best person to come out of last year's draft. He is. That's currently playing in the NHL, right? But Norris is having the best rookie season. But Norris has been on North American ice for a few years now, right? The fact that Stützle's coming here for his first year playing on North American ice, and he's looking the way he's looking, is baffling. It's jaw dropping watching him play. It really, you really do see Patty Kane and the way he drives to the net. And he doesn't care who's in his way. He just kind of skates through people and then kind of bumps them and then shoots the puck anyways. It's amazing to see.
Well, the goal the other night, I mean, like, that was one thing I think when Stützle was coming in was a lot, like, even he himself was like, I am a playmaker. I enjoy setting up plays. I enjoy creating plays, being creative with plays. Like, that's kind of his bread and butter. It was like goal scoring. It was one thing that Patty Kane was well known for coming into the NHL, as well with his playmaking ability. But now, Stützle has just shown how accurate his shot is time and time again. Like, he has, what, 5 goals on the season, and I don't think that any, like, all of those goals have been pretty. Like, he hasn't scored a goal that wasn't absolutely beautiful. Like, he just displays his talent, and, like, he does have that goal-scoring ability, and, like, I've always liked that Patty Kane comparable, but that was one thing that I did wonder. I was like, okay, is he going to have the shot? Is he going to be able to score the same way? And, like, he's showing, like, in my opinion, that he is. Like, he has that accuracy. That goal he scored the other night when he was coming in and just launched it far side, beat the goalie. Like, he was on the, like, far hash marks, basically shot it from the boards and was able to, like, pick that shot. Like, you have to have a hell of a shot. You need to be a very accurate shooter to be able to pull that off. So I totally agree with that. I love that comparable. I also agree with what you're saying about the consistency. And, like, I think that's the biggest part of this rebuild. And I actually, like, I tweeted something today because someone was asking me, like, what if I think the Senator, like, what's been the issue for the Senators this year? And I think that the issue that they've had is growing pains. I think that realistically, this is a team that is going through a rebuild. And as promising as they are and as promising as prospects are, these aren't the kind of guys who, like, overnight are just going to start winning you games. Like, these kids need some reps in the NHL. They need to play. They need to continue to get better. They need to find their game. They need to continue to be consistent, and they need to be well insulated with veterans. And maybe those veterans were not the best players. Maybe the guys that they brought in weren't. I know that some of them weren't. It looks like Dadonov has been a good fit, but I know that a handful of other ones haven't been. And I think that, you know what, like, this is just the growing pains of all of these players, a lot of them whom have never played together, or maybe they have in small stints, like in the AHL, or maybe like Norris and Brady back in the day. But a lot of these kids who, like, haven't played together, and some adult or some, like, veterans as well, who are coming in from other teams that are trying to click. And I think, like, finally now they're starting to find a bit of a rhythm, and they're finding some momentum, and they're starting to play like a team. And I think, like, if this can continue to happen and they can continue to grow in this for the rest of the year, even if they finish the rest of the year below 500, like, even if they're not winning every night, I think, like, as long as they continue to show that they're clicking and going, they're going in the right direction. And as Sens fans, that is the only thing that, like, matters to us right now. That is what we care about.
Yep. And you know what, Ben, I'm not a big fan of Stepan's game. He hasn't been exactly what I thought he was going to be, but you know what? There was one thing he said the other day that really impressed me. And it was a intermission interview when he was talking about Batherson. They asked him about Batherson and Stützle and him playing together. And he goes, I demand a lot from these guys, and I'm going to continue to demand a lot from them. I really love that he said that, because that tells you he really is taking those, both of them, under his wing and helping them out to become real NHLers. Now, Stepan may not be right now what he used to be, but Stepan has been a good hockey player his entire career. He was never a superstar, but he was always a good hockey player. And if he can instill just some of the things that he knows as a good hockey player, guys like Batherson and Stützle can be superstars. And they're going to be. Stützle's going to be a superstar. Batherson, at the very least, is going to be a name that you're not going to want to play against on the ice. Now, as far as growing pains go, I agree. One of the things that I went through with actually just a friend of mine today that we both noticed is the inconsistency of the team playing together. So offense can have a really good game and score five, but defense and goaltending have bad games and they let in six, and defense are where they're supposed to be, or we're losing games where Matt Murray is, you know, stopping 29 and then the defense is playing good, but the offense can't get more than one pot into the back of the net, right? So I think we have the recipe to be a good team. I think we just need to find ways to everyone kind of be on the same wavelength every night.
Well, and I think a big part that goes into it, and you hear about this like when, like with a lot of teams, like I remember, I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan, and if a lot of listeners, if you do listen to a few shows, you might know that for all the chirps that I get. But and one of the big knacks against the Bills, like going into this year, was they were saying, okay, but what is this team's identity? I know that they can win games. I know that they're good, but how do they win games? And what is it that causes them to win games? And I look at the Ottawa Senators and I wonder the same thing. And I get that like last year, they had an identity. Last year, they had this identity that they were going to work out. Like, they were not more skilled than their opponents. They were probably one of the least skilled teams in the league, but they were going to outwork everyone that they played. And that was their identity. And they wore it on their sleeves. And yeah, they didn't win a hell of a lot of games, but they were close and they played well and they looked good. I enjoyed watching the team last year because that was their identity. And we knew that. We knew that that's what we were getting into. And I think as this team grows and as these kids continue to emerge, DJ Smith's going to have a big job, or like all the, whoever it might be now, but I think it'll be DJ Smith. But they're going to have a big job. This team's going to have a big job to figure out what their identity is. How do they win games? And find a way to continue to do that. And that's how they're going to be able to be successful in and out. And I think that speaks a lot to what you're saying about, okay, well, some nights goaltending wasn't there. Some nights, like, Mike Riley's tripping on his own blue line. Some nights, like it's just things like that unfortunately, like, it happens. But it's like, you know what? Like, when you have that identity and you're playing a certain type of way, you're going to know how to get out of places like that. Or you're going to be set up that you're going to be supporting yourselves to be able to get through that. So yeah, I think it's a lot of just building that trust, gaining that experience. I really liked what you said about Derek Stepan, Dave. I've not been a fan of his play since he's been here, but he is definitely one of those guys. And like, it was even spoken about when he was in Arizona, like how good of a leader he is. He is a professional. He's been in the league for so long. It seems like he's just one of those guys that is a veteran and like, he knows how to be that veteran presence. He has experience with it and he's not afraid to do it. And I honestly, like, what one thing that really stood out to me is DJ Smith came out on TSN 1200 and spoke about how Stepan and Brady Tkachuk especially, because he's living with them, have been so important for Tim Stutzel's development and his transition to the NHL. And you know what, like, that's one thing as a Sens fan I need to constantly remember is, as much as like there's nights where I see Stepan's play and I might be like, Jesus, like, come on, like, why is this guy here? Why are you putting this guy out on the power play? Like, might throw out a tweet about it here and there. Or like Gudbranson, you know, like gets beat because he has some of the worst lateral skating skills since Jared Cohen.
Because he made his best Dion Phaneuf impression and didn't freaking move.
Yeah, man, I tweeted today, like, that guy makes Jared Cowan look like Disney on ice. Like, he's incapable of pivoting. But you know what? And like those plays like that, like, it's frustrating. But like, you have to wonder, okay, but what are they bringing? Because there's more to just what we see. Like, of course, we're going to see like these on ice issues happen. And like, it's frustrating. But like, there's a reason why there's a letter on Gudbranson's chest. I hate to say it because I do not like Eric Gudbranson's play, but like, he has to be like a leader. He has to be doing something in some shape or form that's going to make our players better tomorrow. He's not a long-term fix in Ottawa, but if he can make our Shabbats, our Brandstroms better players 2 or 3 years because he was around and gave some tips and helped them out because he's been around long enough that he's able to do that, then that's what they're there for. That's what matters.
Look at next year. You're gonna have guys like Abramov, Formanton, Pinto, JBD, Sanderson. These are all guys that are gonna come into the lineup. So you have to wonder if maybe having these vets is one of those things where you're gonna have guys like Batherson, you're gonna have guys like Norris, and these guys are gonna have to mature and become leaders pretty quick. They're gonna have to become not the veterans, but you know, the sophomore guys who have experience as a veteran. By playing with a veteran, you know what I mean? Like they turn into that veteran presence for the new guys coming in. Because next year, it's going to be a really young team. And the idea of a veteran next year, we might have a guy or two, But a veteran's going to be Tkachuk, is going to be Shabbat. Those are going to be our vets.
Yeah, like our Connor Browns and our Chris Tierneys. I don't know. How have you been thinking about Connor Brown's breakaway skills? By the way, Dave, you're giving a lot of compliments on Twitter.
I said I have a better chance of winning the Lotto Max than Connor Brown has scoring a breakaway goal. It's crazy, right? Because he had how many? I think it was like 4 shorthanded goals last year. I think, yeah. Anyways. But he's decent on the breakaway. It's just for some reason this year, he's just choking. He cannot put one in the back of the net. I guarantee you, if like he can be in the middle of a pileup and shoot the puck and somehow it's going to go in, but one-on-one with the goalie, he just can't get it done. And I don't know if it's just because now it's becoming an onboard joke and maybe even he notices that he can't do it and now he's psyching himself out or what. But yeah, his breakaway skills are starting to worry me because I count at least, I think there was 3 in the Montreal game, if I'm not wrong. And if one of those goes in, you're breathing a little bit lighter at the end of the third period, right? You're not stressing, you know, and Montreal doesn't maybe come back and tie it up for overtime. If one of those goes in, you have to bury one. Out of 3 chances, you have to bury one. You cannot miss 3 breakaway shots. You just can't.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I... it's a good point that you bring up because like there's definitely a mental aspect to it. It's like that whole thing, like a goal scorer, like when goal scorers haven't scored in a while, they're gripping their stick a little tighter. You know, like their dinner's tasting like cardboard. Like it's just like everything in their world is just falling to pieces. And then they finally get one and then they get 20. And I think like that's a big part of it too with Connor Brown. It's like, okay, well now he's had how many breakaways and he hasn't scored on them. He's probably in his head, like, overthinking it, giving himself performance anxiety, going up there, not knowing what's going to happen, or like just shooting it pad because he's in his own head. But it's funny though, man, because he scored the other night and it was a hell of a shot. Like,
yeah,
he let a cannon go. Like it was in and out of the net, like before I could blink. And it's funny because like, I think he does have the shooting power. He's looking a lot like Mikhail Grabner used to. Going on his breakaways, but like, yeah, it's just crazy. And the amount of breakaways that he's getting, like again, against Montreal, last night, like this guy just keeps getting them. And it's like, please Connor, like start like, just practice it, like figure it away. Like, just, I hope that he gets one just so he can get the confidence and he can build on it because, yeah, it's gotta be getting with him a bit. And, I like Connor Brown as a player and I want to see him do well. So it's now
I hope tomorrow night's game goes to shootout and they put him very first. Cause that'll show you that they're confident in him. Right. So I'd love to see something like that happen because then he'd be like, okay, they're going to me first. And then if you score that, boom, monkey.
There it is. Is there? I think Artem Zub might be our number one shootout guy after his goal last week. But
right,
I don't know who's expecting that. But
like, I didn't know Erik Karlsson played for Ottawa again. Like, that's what that reminded me of. That was beautiful, man.
Man, that was he's got a set of hands on him. I know he had more goals than assists in the KHL last year, but I didn't expect him to come like that. That guy just keeps finding new layers to impress me. So, yeah. Little reminder that there's bright spots. I guess before we move on though, Dave, one quick question I had for you is what did you think of the Danohi stick on Stutzel? For me, one of the things that I've been noticing, it's already driving me crazy, is that it's noticeable how much attention Tim Stutzel is already receiving from other teams. Like the amount of penalties that he draws or doesn't draw because it doesn't get called, but the amount of hits, the amount of now high sticks, like things like this that seem to happen almost every night, if not every other game. It's crazy. I mean, like, I guess it does show that teams are aware of him and are doing things to kind of throw him off a bit, but yeah, I mean, like, your thoughts on that high stick, because I thought that was just absolutely ridiculous.
There is no more black and white of a high stick. It just, that's as like, I mean, as you can tell, I'm stumped for words. Like, how do you miss that? And just a few things about this. So first off, Connor McDavid, I remember he still gets it, but it's not as bad because now Cassian doesn't let anybody touch him. But when McDavid first came to the league, man, he dealt with a lot of the same stuff. Now, I'm not saying Stutzel is McDavid. McDavid is he's in a league of his own. But Stutzel is in the league just below him, and he's going to be. But same thing. I mean, people went after him. They took chances and never got called. What bothers me the absolute most, and you and I had discussed this already, we brought in all this grit to protect these kids. Why has nobody knocked somebody's teeth out? You go after our future superstar, like, the team knows every time they've played Montreal, this crap has happened. So why isn't somebody punching somebody's freaking teeth in? And believe me, I'm not saying this lightly, because I'm not all for just walking up to somebody and like rocking people just to, you know, because, hey guys, we got to get this game interesting. But when they're constantly going after your future superstar player, DJ needs to go up to, like, you know, to Watson or Goodbranson and tap on the shoulder and be like, listen, whether they want to fight or not, you're going to go deck him in the face. If he wants to drop the mitts, you drop him. If he doesn't want to drop the mitts, you're going to drop him anyways. And you'll know never to touch Timmy again. And like I said, I hate that dirty crap, but man, at this point, nobody's protecting Timmy. Nobody. And I think that's what's pissing me off. I'm more mad at that than I am at the cheap plays by the Montreal players. I'm way more pissed off at our own teammates for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I totally hear that. It's like, there's a reason. That was the whole point. These guys got brought in. And I mean, like, I hate Michael Haley. Well, I don't hate Michael Haley. I don't think that he's really deserving of an NHL team.
Why are you bringing the goon squad if you're not going to send out the goon squad?
Exactly. Why have a Michael Haley if you're not going to use him in these kinds of situations? And even that, like, even without him, they still have Goodbranson. They still have Watson. And I mean, like, I've been impressed with Watson all year. But, like, really, like, this is the kind of area where he needs to step up and do what he's there for, what he's known for. And
even Tkachuk could have handled that. The only person Tkachuk shouldn't handle on that team is Chariot.
So that's the thing I love Tkachuk, and I love that he's always willing to get in the middle of things, but like, I don't think that he should be fighting. I don't think that you should have your star player going and having fights. And, but he does it a lot, man. Like he does,
but if you notice, none of your firing squad's going after this guy and you're going, okay, no one's going after the guys who are going, you know what? Then I'm going to have to drop the gloves, me, Brady, Tkachuk, and show these guys, you got to protect your teammates. And again, Brady will do it time and time again to, you know, I don't know why he hasn't done it for the Stutzel situation in Montreal. I'm going to assume that tomorrow something's going to go down, because there's no way in hell you go four games and you go after Stutzel and nobody does something.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, like, I've been really sick of Montreal's like cheap shots all year, and it's time for someone to do something. Like I said, I don't think it should have to be Brady. I think that Brady already shoulders a lot of that because he's just a natural leader, a natural captain. But I do think that someone needs to do something. Like, enough's enough. I don't know. And like, I mean, like, DJ Smith came out and said that, like, that was reviewable, like, on TSN 1200. He said that is something that's reviewable. Russ must have missed it, but hopefully they review it and it's suspendable upon review. And I mean, like, I haven't heard anything yet. So you have to kind of figure that nothing is going to come from it. But like, come on, like, that's the kind of stuff that they're trying to get out of the league. Like, that's the kind of stuff that there's just no excuse for. There's no reason. And yeah, I agree. I think some flesh for flesh is probably realistic at this point. I hope that we come out absolutely flying. And you know what? Maybe this is what we need to rebuild that Ottawa Montreal rivalry and just
take a full line brawl, man. Full line brawl is what we need.
Yeah.
someone go get Eric Grab and bring him back for a game.
Yeah, I think I mean, you know, if we get Josh Brown in there, get Branson, Tkachuk, Watson, I don't know, who would we want?
Haley,
yeah. Wow. Okay, that's like looking goon squatty. I kind of feel bad for Kotkaniemi if he's on the ice, but
it's like watching the Power Rangers beat up the Putties all over again.
I think you've been hanging out with your son too much, man. But I'm just kidding. I mean, I guess that pretty much sums up the game. I guess since we're getting into it a bit here, I know, like, we were talking a bit, I was talking a bit about how Goodbranson has clearly done something to deserve that A, and I just brought up there how I think Brady deserves that C. As much as I love Thomas Chabot, I think that Brady has shown this year especially that he's just really that leader. But you brought up an interesting point, Dave, for someone that you think could be deserving of an A when the C finally gets given to probably either Chabot or Tkachuk.
Yeah, so I said, does Tim Stützle automatically get it? Because he's a superstar, right? And he's going to be. And if he's a senator for life, essentially, then he's eventually going to get a letter on his chest. But at the end of the day, I think I would make the argument for Drake Batherson, man. He's a really hardworking player. He comes in every day and he works his ass off. He's getting better and better, and he wins battles to the pucks. Like, he's just, I think he's a natural born leader. And at the end of the day, I think Batherson would be a great person to get that other A, man.
Yeah, I think, like, I totally get where you're coming from. And I think, like, his relationship with Stützle this year, I think, like, on and off the ice, like, the fact that he talks German to him and Tim seems to really like that. I thought that was the best quote ever. He speaks German to me. he loved it. But like, the fact that their play has complemented each other so well, and it does kind of look like he's been looking out for Tim a bit, and grooming him, and they're really developing a good game. I think he's a hell of a player. I love Drake. I think that he's got an interesting story. The way that he came out, he was kind of looked over in the Q draft because of his size, hit a late growth spurt, and just blew up to be a hell of a player, and just, like, kept working at it. So, you know what, like, I definitely think, like, he would be a good fit for it. I don't know what he's like, though. I don't know what he's like in the room. I don't know who the leader is. And if there's someone that is a better leader, then I'm all for that. But I definitely think he would be a solid candidate. I totally agree. I don't think that a star player should necessarily just get a letter just because he's a star player. I mean, like, look at Patrick Kane. He's one of the best scorers in the NHL. He's one of the best he probably is the best American-born hockey player of all time. He's up there. But yet, like, he doesn't have a letter in Chicago. And I know, like, I think his personality might not be the best for having a letter. But at the same time, I think, like, it just goes to show that you don't have to be a soup, like, you don't have to get a letter if you're a star player. So I think that whoever shows that they deserve it should get it. I also think that, like, JBD, Sanderson, those are two guys there that down the road, I think are going to be a very important piece in the leadership core. Like, I think that you can already see it at their really young ages, like, playing at NoDak, that they're already leaders on and off the ice. So I think that they would be great fits for it too. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes up in a few years.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe for the first year, have Batherson and Stützle kind of share it. So home games, you know, you can have Batherson wear it, and then on the away games, you can have Stützle wear the A, and then, you know, go for a season and kind of go from there. But yeah, I think I think Sanderson is going to be one of those vocal guys. I mean, from my understanding, he's a pro through and through. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of candidates, man, and hopefully a lot of leadership in the locker room here in the next coming few years.
Yeah, no, it's definitely looking that way. And I don't know. I'm excited for what's to come. It looks like we're getting a bit of a taste of it right now. And it's just going to continue to grow, because there's a lot of good players coming. And yeah, like what we've been seeing going on with North Dakota. With that being said, maybe now's a good time to cut into the Shane Pinto interview and give the listeners what they're really here for. So we'll leave it there. And everyone enjoy the interview. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
What's up, New Era Sounds listeners? This is Brennan, joined by my co-host, Dave. We are extremely excited to be joined by no other than Hobie Baker nominee, Superman lookalike, and the guy who makes winning faceoffs look as easy as riding a bike, Shane Pinto.
Come on, guys. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing, Shane?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, man. Sorry that intro isn't quite as good as your play-by-play guy at North Dakota. But
no, that was good.
I love your UND guy. Your UND guy is great, man. Like, I listened to I've watched a bunch of videos. Yeah, your arena guy is great.
Yeah, he's
electric. Yeah, man, honestly, like, his voice, like, it could be on Audible or something. Like, it's so, yeah. It's just, he's got it. He's got it.
He deserves a show deal, I think.
For sure.
He's definitely showbound.
Sorry, go ahead, man. Go.
I was gonna say maybe you can bring him with you guys to Ottawa.
Yeah, maybe.
So I really want to ask, is your pool game really as bad as JBD says it is? I don't know if you watched the episode or even just a little clip or anything, but like, as far as talking smack, it was very soft. He went very easy as far as talking smack. But at the same time, man, a lot of guys go around bragging they're really good at pool. So, so was he exaggerating, or are you really that bad?
Man, I wasn't too good once I got into the pod. But towards the end, I was beating him most of the time, so I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know why he was chirping. He took a little bit of my money, but I want some of it back. So he's not too good at ping pong, though, so I got him in ping pong. We played a lot last year, and I always used to beat him, so I got him on that.
You just felt bad for him, gave him the
yeah, L. I had to give him the pool.
Yeah. God needed something.
Yeah.
So Shade, I just want to kind of just getting started here. I love your story, man. Like I think everyone loves a good Hollywood story. And in terms of people or prospects coming to the NHL, I think yours is one of the better ones. So I guess like I'm curious. From what I understand, you grew up as a huge Phillies fan, wanted to play for the Phillies up until you're about 15 years old, and then you realized you wanted to give hockey a serious stab at it. So I respect the Phillies choice. I love Roy Halladay personally, I'm just curious if you could take us through what that decision looked like, and then what that path was like for you. So I just feel like at that point in your life, like it's later on than a lot of kids like start taking sports seriously, but it sounds like you just kind of had that Mamba mentality. And I'm curious how you did it and what kind of adversity you faced.
Yeah, I think growing up, I was just playing a lot of baseball and football. I think I've said this story a lot, but yeah, I was just playing a lot of baseball and football, you know, just playing all types of sports. And honestly, I think it's benefited me considering, you know, I think in hockey, a lot of the guys are maybe not as athletic. And I think playing all those sports growing up, it kind of helped me out and having that athleticism. But, you know, it's definitely different. I thought growing up I was just always going to be a professional baseball or football player, but you know, I just kind of fell out of love with baseball and football. And this one tournament I was at when I was playing for New York Aviator, we had like this summer tournament, and South Kent Selects Academy, the prep school I went to, they saw me there. And you know, I didn't know much of it at the time, how good of a school they were, but I looked it up and I did some research, and me and my parents sat down and we kind of, you know, realized that this could be something serious. And, you know, that summer, I had a really good summer, probably the first one in the weight room for hockey related things. And, you know, got a skating coach, did some edge work and worked on my skills. And, you know, I went there and it kind of took off from there. I haven't looked back since. But yeah, it's definitely been a lot, you know, everything's come so fast. Each year's going faster and faster, but I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as I can, because it definitely is fun.
So you went to Selects, and then you got drafted like pretty late to the USHL, right? Like, was it your first year being eligible, or was it were you passed over once? I mean, I guess that doesn't really matter, but yeah. Like a late pick made it like how was that like going in?
Yeah, I think it was my second year eligibility, but it was more of like my agent just called the Lincoln Stars. Like, they didn't really talk to me throughout the year, and I thought I was gonna get drafted by Sioux City that whole year, and they never drafted me. And then, you know, like, it was kind of like a pity pick. Like, my agent just called them asking, you know, for them to pick me. I was like the 330th player picked. But then yeah, I played my 18th year at Selects, and then yes, you know, I just worked really hard and I made the team the next year, and it's come all full circle. Honestly, it's been a crazy ride so far. It's really insane to think about, but you know, I don't have too much time to think about it. I just got to keep getting better, obviously. So
Shane, what's that? What do they call it in the NFL for the guy that's picked last, like Mr. Irrelevant or whatever?
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant. That's how I felt.
So you're like Mr. Irrelevant of the USHL.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
So one of the biggest things that the Ottawa Senators have been searching for since the departure of Jason Spezza is like a solid number one center. And Ottawa's gone through the transitions with guys like Matt Duchene and stuff like that. And I mean, Kyle Turris did a pretty good job when he was around. He wasn't a number one center, but he held his own pretty well. I think among Sens fans, a lot of people believe, and I think even within the organization, a lot of people believe that Shane Pinto is that guy. And like, you have just gotten better and better over the years. Is that something you kind of think you want to take a stab at right away next year? Like, come to training camp, you know, maybe start like on the second line or third line and quickly transition to that top line center guy, because you clearly have the skill, the ability. Like Brendan said in his intro, you make winning faceoffs look as easy as breathing, man. Like, you know, so guys want to know, like, have you talked to Ottawa about kind of like plans for next year? Like, what's on the plate for Pinto next year?
Yeah, obviously, I think I just want to – I don't know what I'm doing yet next year. I still haven't made that decision. You know, I got to see what – you know, how this year ends and everything's like the process. But obviously, when I get there, best, and if that is to be the number one center, you know, that'd be awesome, obviously. But I just want to contribute right when I get there. However I can do that is, you know, if it's by winning faceoffs or penalty killing, whatever I have to do, I'll do my best at it. But, you know, I think if I continue getting better the way I have been, and hopefully keep that sharp incline of development, you know, I think it's possible. You know, you got to shoot high, and, you know, I'll continue to do that.
Yeah, like, so you're not very active on social media, so I'm not sure if you're aware that you're already, like, a massive fan favorite in the city of Ottawa and among, like, you know, Senators fans. You're like, people are like, yeah, no, I don't think you can really do wrong, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, if you're ever active on Twitter, man, for more than a day and you type in your own name, there's always people that are like, yeah, I swear to God, man, I'm not even kidding, dude.
You should pump this guy's tires some more. Like, I think he's already hanging his own jersey in his room, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he needs it.
It's a little cocky, honestly.
So one of the things Brent and I talked about yesterday, so the way we work with our interviews and podcasts is we rotate, right? So I'll host one, he hosts the other. He got right. Fangirl when he found out we were going to have Shane Pinto on. So he got fangirl, and he's like, dude, can I host? I was like, absolutely.
I might have showered before this. That was a great
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I try to stay off of social media as much as I can, but I don't try to look too much into it.
Unreal. I guess for the next question then, like, you, so I did get to watch a bit of you play at the USHL. I was working for Hockey TV at the time. So if your broadcast ever cut out, I guess it was probably my bad on that end. But with that being said, like, I think that the first game that really, like, cemented your play in my mind, and I imagine other Sens fans as well, was that Boxing Day game when you were playing for the U.S. at the World Juniors against Canada in 2019. And I guess, like, I've got, like, two questions to that part. So the first thing that I'm wondering is what it was like, because you had two goals, debatably three goals. I don't know what that timer was actually at. I don't know. I think someone might have been messing around with that. But you had two goals in that game, one player of the game. Both those goals were scored against number 24, JBD. But he was on the ice. But with that being said, like, I was curious, like, what it was like to have that kind of performance on the world stage, and then also what it was like to play that game against Jacob, because that was probably, I would imagine, one of the first times you would have played off against him since you guys were playing together at North Dakota.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the cooler games I've ever played in. I think that may have been my coming out party a little bit. Like you said, I don't think a lot of people were probably down on when I got picked. You know, 32nd, I think I remember reading some things that people weren't too happy with it. You know, but I think that game kind of, like I said, kind of showed them that maybe I didn't work that pick. But to play against Jacob, it was definitely different. You know, coming into North Dakota here, he was a sophomore and I was a freshman, so usually those two classes are pretty tight. So, you know, we were good buddies, you know, up until then, and then obviously game time came, so we couldn't really talk too much, but we try to chirp each other here and there on face-offs. But, yeah, it was definitely different, you know, to see him on the other side. But, you know, at the end of the day, he got the last laugh. You know, he got that gold medal, which is all that matters. So I'm very happy for him. But yeah, it was definitely different for sure.
That was a tough situation, right? Because we're proud Canadians, but at the same time, we're like, go Pinto! Like, it's such a tough situation for us to watch.
Yeah, no, we got our last lap this year, though, which I'm happy. Sandy and Clark got us one, which is huge for USA Hockey, so I'm happy for them.
Yeah, man, we were like I was catching myself cheering for the U.S. in that gold medal game, like, multiple times, because, like, man, Sanderson played so good that I was just like, honestly, like, I just want to see this kid get it. Like,
yeah, he's an unbelievable player.
Have you, like, I guess this is kind of a sidebar, but, like, how have you been impressed with his game this year and like, how it's developed?
Yeah, I don't think people realize how good that kid is. I don't know if... I know he got drafted at 5th overall, but he is definitely worth that pick. He's a workhorse off and on the ice. He's an animal, but, you know, he's just so smart, so skilled in the D zone, and he just makes the right play every single time. So I'm essentially really excited because, you know, he's such a stud. So I can't say enough good things about him.
Is it true he has, like, a ridiculously early bedtime? Like, he, like, just calls it at, like, 9 p.m. and then is, like, at the rink first thing in the morning?
Yeah, he goes to bed at, like, 9 o'clock. I don't know how he does it. He sleeps for, like, 10 hours. I wish I could do that.
I respect that, man. Like, yeah,
if you could do it, like, good for you. I can't even go to – I can't do that. I don't know how he just shuts it down so early.
I'm in my mid-30s, man. For, like, 9 o'clock comes around, I'm like, yep, good night. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not at that point yet.
Like, I have a hard time staying up for, like, New Year's for, like, the countdown. It's like midnight. I'm like, hurry up, guys. Let's get these last 10 seconds. I was like, go to bed.
Yeah. I think Shane's got too many games of Fortnite left in him before
he's called it. So right now, Nikita Zaitsev wears number 22 in Ottawa. Do you have, like, a backup number that has meaning to you that you're willing to go to? Or are you willing to compete against Zaitsev in something that's not pool, possibly like ping pong or something? You know, to kind of duke it out for that number.
I don't know if anyone's wearing number 12 right now, but I think growing up, I always used to wear 12, and that's a special number for me. So I think I'd go with 12. I'm not sure if it's retired or anything, is it?
No, it is a special number for Ottawa fans because it was Mike Fisher's number. And Mike Fisher in Ottawa was probably one of the most memorable guys we ever had here. I don't think anybody's wearing it right now. But I think as the best player to ever wear number 12 was Mike Fisher. And honest to God, as a legendary centerman in Ottawa history, I think it'd be a really good omen if you wore number 12 in Ottawa.
Yeah, I think that'd be my number choice for sure, because I wore that growing up. And
I mean, if number 12 landed him Carey Underwood, then maybe maybe some good luck for him.
Not a bad luck.
Yeah, I did all right, eh? Yeah. So we touched on it a bit earlier, just like with your constant improvements, like just your development curve, right? Like, I'm sure it's something that you hear a lot when people talk about your game. I know I'm not Bob McKenzie, but me and Derek, another writer for our website, did our rankings, like prospect rankings earlier this year. And I had you pretty high up there. And the reason for it was, like, just because you just continue to keep getting better. And the reason, like, so my question regarding that is that, like, it seems like every year you add another layer to your game. Like, this year, it obviously, like, the face-off circle has just been, like, you've just dominated it. I've noticed, I don't know if it's actually something you're working on, but it seems like that, like, on the power play, you love shooting it from that circle, like, kind of like the half circle there, you're lining it up. I'm just curious if there's, like, different, like, parts of your game that you kind of attack each year that you're like, you know what, if I can add this element, it'll just make me that much better of a player. And, like, is that kind of your approach to things?
Yeah, I think, obviously every summer you kind of have a plan going into it, you know, get bigger, stronger, faster. I think everyone says that, but, you know, for me, I always knew I had the hockey IQ part of the game down. You know, I did a good job of just kind of anticipating things, but I never felt like the physical tools were ever there, you know, these past couple of years. But I think this year they're kind of starting to, you know, kind of show a little bit more. I definitely feel more confident skill wise. So I think most of the time it's just a confidence thing for me. I think, you know, each day I just feel, you know, better and better out there on the ice. And, you know, obviously I feel like my faceoff still could get a little bit better and my shot could get better. You're always improving. Like you can never settle for being, you know, the same way you were yesterday. So that's my mindset, and I'll just continue to take that with me.
Love it.
Ross, you were into baseball and football, obviously more growing up than you were in hockey, but you did play hockey at a young age, but you didn't start to really take it seriously. I think it was the age of 15, correct? Now,
yes.
Okay, so we know the story, but what was the wow or this is cool moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this seriously now? Like, I know you said you kind of lost a passion for other sports, but was there something that like jumped out where you were like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go to hockey now?
I think I remember the Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup run when I was about 16. It's when they went back to back their first year. I don't know. I watched every single one of their regular season games and every single one of their playoff games. I was so dialed into them. And I think that's when I really fell in love with the game. It was just weird. It was just like a flip. Yeah, it was weird. It was just a snap of a finger. And I just loved the game. And, you know, that summer I was just like, oh God, I really want to take this seriously. And, you know, I just wanted to play college hockey somewhere, you know, maybe juniors. To think that it'd be, you know, at this point right now, it's pretty pretty surreal, honestly. But like I said, I'm just taking it in stride and enjoying every day. So,
and things are just going to get more real for you, man. Like, like you literally went from 0 to 100 so fast. It's crazy. And yeah. I guess watching a guy like Sidney Crosby do his thing for so many years and watching him go through the playoffs, it's hard to not fall in love with hockey, even for someone who's probably never watched it before. You right. Watch a guy like that, man, and it's hard for you not to be like, holy crap, this is amazing. That being said, I want to see you play against Crosby. He's an enemy of Ottawa Senator fans, man. He's an enemy. We had Mark Mathot on the show a few months ago, and I don't know if you ever saw the video of like Mark Mathot's finger getting chopped by Crosby. Like, dang, they're still not friends. They have not made up for it yet. Sad. Really? So sad. Crosby reached out to him like a week later, but Mathot was being a little bit like he never replied to him. Right. He's like, but yeah. So Crosby's not liked in Ottawa very much, man.
No, so, I know. Especially after that series when I think Kunitz scored in Game 7 or something.
Oh man, bringing back PTSD here.
Why do you open that wound,
Shane? So for like, okay, so for baseball, you're a Phillies fan. And then right. For football, are you a Jets fan?
Yeah, I'm a Jets fan.
Man, what? So how did you feel after they beat LA this year and Trevor Lawrence is looking like he's going to Jacksonville?
Yeah, at first, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty upset. But I think, honestly, I think Sam Darnold's our quarterback. I know a lot of people, you know, don't give him enough praise. You have to realize, like, he has no weapons around him.
Yeah.
You know, he has no one around him. I think he's a good enough quarterback. I think we have to have a good draft, obviously, this year if we have a chance in the next couple. It's going to take a while. You know, it is what it is. But I think Darnold's our guy still, but I don't know. They may draft this kid from BYU, this Wilson, Zach Wilson.
So yeah. What's your thoughts on the Bills?
I love that, especially for Bills Mafia fans. They're
Let's go.
The best fans in the NFL. I think it's awesome that they're good. Yeah. They just got to get a better defense. Well, not a better defense, a better running game. They're running game.
Yeah, I know, man. They love their like Hercules hamsters, but it kills me. But I know I was pretty bummed I couldn't go down and jump into any tables this year. But
seriously,
it was always next year. Yeah, and I think if the O-line can improve in New York, then Darnold might stand a chance. But unreal. So yeah, I guess like with that being said, I've got some more kind of fun questions for you now. So this one here, I did some digging on your Twitter, and okay. I noticed that you're a pretty big Lil Uzi Vert guy.
Yeah, I got the flag up right there.
Is that oh man, yeah. I mean I don't blame you. The guy doesn't know. But I got so I want to know, like, as a kinesiology major, what your opinion is of him installing a $24 million diamond in his forehead. And if you respect it, if you respect the
I don't know if I respect that, honestly. That's a lot of money. Right? $24 million to put something in your head. I don't know if it's worth it, but he's a different kind of person for sure. But, you know, I just vibe with his music. I love it. I don't know why, but yeah, I don't agree with the $24 million stone in your head. I don't know what he's doing with that.
So my question on that too is also great choice. I love Lil Uzi Vert. Yeah, but he's awesome. But my question on that is if all of the North Dakota Sens bought one thing that was $24 million, what would it be? Like each of them, yourself included.
I would, what would I do with that? I would try to maybe buy my own golf course. I don't know how much that is.
That's not a bad call.
I think having your own golf course would be pretty sick. Jacob, he's a pretty mellow guy. He doesn't, he's not too flashy or anything, Jacob. I don't know what he would buy, honestly.
Maybe a ranch or.
Yeah, yeah. He just wants to be out in the country and chill. I think maybe some land. Sanderson, he's a little flashy. I can see him buying some cars and stuff. Yeah, maybe some watches. He'd spend that $24 million real quick. And then Clevin. Clevin, he's like Jacob. He's like a farmer boy. He's not too flashy either. So I think you just keep it simple. Go buy some land and just enjoy himself that way.
Just a nice tractor. Just
yeah, yeah. He just wants to chill.
Unreal.
So one of the things that we asked JBD is if he had any dirt on any future Ottawa Senators prospects to play at UND. And obviously we asked him stuff like, you know, does Pinto play Barbie girl or something pregame? Do you have anything weird or anything crazy on any future Senators that you can, you know, share with us? Any crazy stuff?
I guess
or
say
funny.
One thing I could say about Jacob is his favorite music artist before the game is Kesha.
Is it just that one Kesha song though, or is it just does he know more than just that one Kesha song? Because I don't know.
I think he really likes her. The boys chirping a bit for it. That's probably the only thing. Sanders and Clay don't have much on, unfortunately. Anything weird pregame. So
that's what I was gonna ask. Like, what about you? Do you got any weird rituals? Like, everyone has like something, and you'll see it on TSN once in a while where they'll point out somebody's weird rituals. Do you have anything that's maybe different or like a pregame meal that's different than everybody else's?
No, I think all the boys here now do also like mostly sweet potatoes, so that's nothing new, you know. I'm trying to think of anything weird I do. I mean, I play sewer ball, which is that soccer game I stick in, or I do my warm-up. No, I don't do anything weird, really, honestly. I know Sanderson goes in the cold tub, which is pretty psycho before a game, but it works for him. Yeah, it works for him. I keep it simple, honestly. I'm just kind of keep my head clear and just get ready to play.
I watched a video a while ago of you making chicken parm.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, like, so Jean-Gabriel Pageau, like, his pregame meal was always chicken parmesan, right? And, like, he scored, like, the one time he talked about it, he scored 4 goals. So I looked at your cooking skills, and I said, man, I bet you anything Pageau would love that because that looks so good. It was a nice and crispy and juicy. I'm going to have to, like, get that recipe off you sometime.
That's probably one of my favorite hobbies is to cook, which is definitely different, but I think it's pretty helpful day to day life. I always cook for myself, so it makes it easier. So,
yeah, it was one of the things that I read was you were really close with your mom in the kitchen growing up, right?
Yeah,
definitely. Like you helped her a lot cooking. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Because I grew up the same way, so that's really cool.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think just to have that connection with my mom, it was awesome growing up, and I learned a lot from her. So.
What's your background? Like, are you guys Italian or?
My dad is Italian, Puerto Rican, and then my mom is Irish, German, and Polish. So I'm pretty much everything.
A lot of good foods in there.
Yeah. Got a couple, little of everything. So,
did you speak any German? Because I'm sure Stutzel would appreciate that. No,
okay. Unfortunately, I don't.
Well, he's got a couple options there. I want to ask you actually. So, what's it like? I'm curious how you found growing, like going to North Dakota. Obviously, like that was a big decision for you to decide to go there and play hockey. And it seems like a pretty unreal decision, just based on like what I've seen and like the way that like players have talked about playing there and just the atmosphere and everything. But it really feels like playing there, like it really gears you up for the NHL. So I'm curious, like if you feel like playing on that stage is a really good route and good preparation in terms of like the next step of like playing in pros, because you have those fans, like you have that arena, and like kind of like I don't want to say like you're famous, but like in a way you probably are in North Dakota. Like so
no 100%. I think I don't think there's a better place anywhere in the country. I think, honestly, in the world, just to develop you as a player. I think they have every single resource that you need, from a weight room to all the recovery stuff, nutrition. And like you said, just the fans here, it makes you feel like you're in the NHL. I'm so happy with my decision, obviously. Each and every day I wake up and I'm pumped to go to the rink and be with the guys. And just to put on this jersey every weekend, it's a dream come true, but I definitely made the right decision. You know, they just have such a good culture here. I mean, there's nothing else to it. You know, you hear the names Brock Besser, TJ Oshie, all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, they came here for a reason, and they're the players they are for a reason, you know. So it just shows what kind of place this is.
And then Shane, so like another part of that I was wondering is like, obviously like it's pretty special and unique that like there's four of you. And then I guess like Johnny Tychonic as well, who are like in the Sens system that are on the same team. And I guess like, I'm curious, like, do you think that like having that relationship, like just that chemistry, cause you're going to have like locker room chemistry on the ice. Like, do you think that that's going to be like something that's really powerful and like special kind of like to the next step, like as you go up the ranks together, in the Senator system? And like, do you think that that's also something that like down the road, like 3, 4, 5 years, like these are the kind of guys you want to win with? Like, these are the guys that you want to be on your team and you want to be with like for like going on?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, the relationships I've made with all three of those guys, all four of them, honestly, you know, it's definitely special. And just to go through the same experiences with them and, you know, have them there to talk to and kind of go through it with you, it's awesome to have. And, you know, they're all winners, every single one of them. And, you know, I hope once all of us get there, we're just going to bring that winning culture. I think, you know, North Dakota does such a great job of preparing us. So I think once we get there, we'll bring that culture along with us.
I just picture you guys like in a slow motion video, walking together, kicking a door open with some NWA playing in the background. Like just, yeah, that's kind of what I'm picturing when you guys roll into town, man. So, but it's gotta be a cool sensation though, right? Like, it's like for me, for example, if I were to go start a new job somewhere, I'd be nervous, right? Knowing I'm going to go there, but knowing I have three friends starting on the same day as me, for example, or that already work for that company, or they're going to become, I mean, the idea of that, I think, would make things a little easier and more comfortable. Like, is there anybody on the Sens squad right now that you're already kind of friends with, that you know, text with or whatever?
Yeah, well, Lannon, obviously, he spent the summer here with us, so obviously I'm buddies with him. And then, you know, I think last year or 2 years ago now, because there was no development camp last year, but, you know, 2 years ago I met a couple guys, and, you know, Norris and Brown and all them, and obviously they're great guys, and, you know, I'm excited to hang out and be with them when I'm there. Yeah, like I said, I think what you said about, you know, having those guys here, you know, being with the same organization, we're just, you know, sharing that experience and going through it together. So I think it's good to have them by your side.
Unreal. Love that, man. And hey, it looks like you guys are off to or having another unreal season. You're kind of making up for the unfinished business last year. And I guess you swept Denver last weekend, right?
Yeah, we swept Denver. And then if we sweep again this weekend, we win our conference title. So that'd be a fun weekend if we could do that. There's a lot of work to be done, though. You know, it's a stretch run coming up. And, you know, it's just what you play for. So I'm excited for it.
And is it the bubble's expected to be in North Dakota? JBD was saying.
Yeah, our playoffs are here in North Dakota, so it's convenient for us. We can just stay in our homes and it'll be comfortable. So I'm excited for that. We get our fans and stuff. So it's an exciting time, you know. It's you know what we play for and what we work hard for in the summer. So
unreal, man.
Yep. So one thing that's really cool is that you're nominated for the Hobie Baker. Just know that we are constantly retweeting the link for people to go vote daily. And so just know that you got a lot of support out there, man.
Yeah,
so
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. No, I was going to say, yeah, and anyone listening, just remember that you can vote once a day because I've been smashing that every day. And make sure we get Shane going. I know there's a few guys, like I think because Jordan Kawaguchi's on there as well, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, he's on there.
But I mean, I think we're a little biased. So yeah, get on there, smash the Pinto vote. Shane, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. This was unreal. Like we're all like so pumped to see what you guys do in North Dakota, and then just to watch you all come into the Senator system. Like I think you're one of the prospects that people are very excited about. But all the North Dakota guys. We just can't wait. So thanks for taking the time and meeting with us. It means a lot.
Tell Sandy we're coming for him.
Yeah, I'll put in a good word for you guys. I'll tell him to hop on the pod.
Thanks.
All right, boys. It's good talking. Right,
take care, Shane.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, man. Thank See you.
Buddy. All right. There's our interview with Shane Pinto. I hope everyone enjoyed. If you did and you want to see more Sens content, feel free to hit that subscribe button. Take care.
Cheers, boys.